We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Has made it back from Coachella. The Warriors are 2-0, feeling like we're back in 2015, just a dominating performance. It's not just that they won, it's the style in which they won. Tell me, you watching this, you know, that maybe the supporting cast has changed. Jordan Poole looks like a superstar in the making, but did the vibes not feel like some 2015, 2016 Golden State Warriors?
This was peak, right? Absolutely. I'm so glad you started out with this. It's what it felt like. The crowd seemed amazing. I know we had Lightyear super intern Neo come on our playback show.
Best in the business.
During the game. Yeah, nobody better. And he was actually at the game and he was saying how the crowd was fantastic and they were engaged throughout the entire game. And I think that's kind of what made those Warriors teams so cool, is that those teams feed off the crowd. And tonight you can see in the late second quarter and really in that third quarter, once they got going, the crowd got going. And after that, it was like Denver had no chance, right? And absolutely, they would have had no chance anyway. They're not a great team, but it just really did feel Steph, peak Draymond, especially peak Draymond and Klay Thompson just... I mean, this is special. It feels like this could be a special postseason.
It does. I mean, it had been the year started amazing, tumultuousness with injuries, enter the playoffs. We don't really know what to expect. I'm not saying positive or negative, just the injuries, you know? It is what it is. And they look like kind of the apex version of everything we have all gotten to love about the Steph Curry-led Warriors. And, you know, there's been talk about the new death lineup, and they absolutely, like, this game turned when they went to the Steph, Poole, Klay, Wiggins, Draymond lineup. They actually started awful. There's no way around it. That was a disgusting start to the game. They're down 12 points. The minute they went to that lineup, turn the game around, and there was no looking back. I mean, I don't know. Are we calling it the Fast Five? Are we calling it PTSD, Poole, Thompson, Steph, Draymond? Are we calling it the Fitz Five? That's what the kids are calling it, Kalena. That's what I hear.
The Fitz Five is the best one. I mean,
it makes zero sense, but it's absolutely hilarious to me. I'm willing to hear, you know, we're going to take callers the rest of the day. Or later tonight, I'm willing to hear your guys' thoughts on the name for the show, but or for the lineup. But it does not matter. You know, Jordan Poole, new, looks amazing. We're going to talk about him. It just feels like the Warriors, man.
Yeah, this is everything that the Warriors have, I think, built. They're not changing their identity. I think they're making they're enhancing it. Right, they're making their identity even stronger. By essentially, it's really Jordan Poole, because Tonight, we saw Steph, amazing. I mean, plus 30, 34 points on 17 shots, only played like 24 minutes. So this is the Steph that we're used to. Klay Thompson, solid defense, a little slow, but he had a couple big threes in that run. So it's like, there's your Klay. And then Draymond, right, completely locks up Nikola Jokic. We know the big three. We know that they're going to be ready to rock. But Jordan Poole, Sam, I think that is the one where, you know, this team won a title and they almost won another one with those three guys. They added Kevin Durant and they won two more. I mean, it's, you know, that team was stacked. And now they add this kid. His dimension where he's not KD. Nobody's KD. He's not Steph because no one's Steph. But I think he's about as close as you can get to that type of impact and value to this team because he's another scorer that just completely make this team unguardable. Completely unguardable.
And that's
most,
all
the most points, by the way, 44 points, the most that the Warriors have ever scored in the third quarter in the postseason under Steve Kerr.
That is a great stat. Shout out statistician Andy Liu. What I was going to say is, yeah, Jordan Poole, I mean, that was kind of my big question all season. Where are they going to get secondary playmaking and shot creation? Who's going to be that guy who gets a bucket when they throw two bodies at Steph? Not only is Jordan Poole answering that question, and I've liked him. I mean, he's exceeding my expectations. 29 points and 8 assists tonight, 10 for 16 from the field off of a 30-point game. And just like contextually, the game was over in, you know, end of the third, both the games. So it's like doing this in kind of 3.5 quarters instead of 4 quarters, like just – amazing. Like, I think he was honestly more spectacular tonight than he was in game one, and he was plenty spectacular in game one. Some of the shots he hit, the sidestep one getting fouled, some of the plays he made going to the rim, the behind the back pass. I mean, he's meant to play for this team. That's all I'm going to say. He's got that flair that Steph and Klay have where they're like, oh, yep, we're rolling. Yep. It's time. It's yep. time.
Yeah, that's when the Warriors, you rarely see this team. If they're going to go on a run like this, the game's never close. I think it's a large difference compared to other teams. I mean, we saw what Kyrie did against Boston, and you see him kind of go off, and that game is still going to be close. And I mean, they lost the game, right? I think with the Warriors, when they go on these type of runs, especially with Draymond anchoring the defense, they're up 20. Like, Denver had no chance. Remember, through that third, me and you were sitting there, and this we were just like, yeah, this thing's over. Because they're doing what they used to do, except even better. And then, you know, shout out to Andrew Wiggins, who's the fifth part of that rotation five, right? And he really didn't make any mistakes. He's very good defensively. And he made a shot. He made the open shots when he got. And like, that's right. Like, that's the Harry B role. Nobody's asking Wiggins to do more than that. And he's doing that very well. So it's you know, it's just as good of a five as you could throw out there right now.
Yeah. And it's like, it's the speed at which they play with and the togetherness. You mentioned Kyrie. He was phenomenal yesterday, but when he's going, it's very much like an individual show, right? Slow down, I'm going. When the Warriors are going, when Steph is going, when Jordan Poole's going, when Klay's going, it's like the ball's moving, and it's all about like they feed off of each other. It's a completely different – it's a different energy. The team gets better because of it. Dude, we've gone too far without mentioning number 30. You know, like this is how you know the vibes are good. When we can go this far without mentioning Steph Curry putting up 34 points in 23 minutes off the bench. Stan Van Gundy made no more than 55 separate 6 Man of the Year jokes. I mean, look, the first it was there, but it was peak dad comedy, like no other way around it.
Right? The fact that he did it repeatedly is just like hammering the joke. I mean, you and I would just look. We missed Fitz tonight. Sometimes Fitz is like, it's not that he's great, but he's our guy, right? Like his shitty jokes are our shitty jokes. He's family. So it was funny. But yes, Steph. The thing with Steph, why we started with Jordan Poole is like Jordan Poole, we've never seen this before. It's so cool. Steph, it's like, yeah, this is what we're used to seeing Steph do to like Portland in round one, right? He did it for so long. He does it against Houston. And now, I mean, the biggest concern I had, and you and I were discussing this, is like, shit, is the foot okay? Because game one, he looked rusty, looked a little slow, I thought. game two, starting this game, I was like, okay, like a little bit better. And then all of a sudden he looked completely fine by the end of the game. So did you think that his health, I mean, obviously he was amazing and he's still the best player on this team, but you think his health is as close to 100%, or you think it's just, you know, maybe adrenaline got him going or something like that?
Probably somewhere between. He looked like peak Steph to me. Now, how much of it was adrenaline? I don't know. But he looked amazing. He didn't look slow. He looked like he get the shots he wanted. He had the team moving in transition. He was running fine. You get the impression, based off the way they talk about it, it's mostly like, all right, how sore is he going to be tomorrow? They're worried about like the cumulative effect. You know what I mean? They're worried about the fact that like they don't want the scenario where like five games down the line, he just can't move because it's gotten a little worse every game, you know? So like you can't really watch for that in an individual game, right? Like that's one of those things where it's like you kind of have to trust the science and hope that like these limited bursts allow his foot to heal properly.
I mean, that's such a great point. I mean, that's the fear. That's what happened in 2016, where he would have games where he was spectacular, but the longer it went, right? Like that OKC series took seven games, and you could see by the end of that Cleveland series, like Steph just wasn't that guy physically at all. And it just 2 months of grueling postseason. You don't want to say that about Steph, right? So I think they've kind of, and again, that was 6 years ago. So Steph is 6 years older now. And you and I, you know, we're not happy with Steph coming off the bench, and we want to see more Steph. And he only played 23 minutes tonight. Not that he needed to play more, but it's like, I think maybe Denver's a perfect situation, I think, for Steph right now.
Yeah.
Because if this was a close game, you could probably see Steph push it at the 30. Because you remember that I keep bringing 2016. He came back against Portland the first game. He plays like 40 minutes. They go into OT. Remember that? And that's kind of like they just have no choice. And right now with the Warriors, with this team, it's like, yeah, they could play Steph 24 minutes and win. Like, that's all they need. It's a luxury right now because of how good that they're playing.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a luxury in multiple ways. Like, because you're correct. Like, Denver, I mean, Jokic is probably going to get some jokes for this, but, like, this series should be kind of – dude, that is a disgustingly bad roster. That is a bad roster. That's my biggest takeaway from it. Like, they can't guard the perimeter. They can't guard it's, you know, the world in which the Warriors have to play the Timberwolves in round one. And I'm not even saying Minnesota is an amazing team, but they're super athletic and they would make Steph work. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would have been the opposite of a soft landing spot. So like there is some thanks to be given for that, because this isn't a playoff caliber defense. I don't know how else to put it. You know, like Monty Morris, Austin Rivers is their best perimeter defender. That's all you need to know. He's fine, but he's not, you know, you're not going against, you know, like what you face when you get deeper into the playoffs.
Yeah. Yep. It's as easy as it gets. I think they're a regular season team. That's how they won 48. Jokic is amazing. I actually felt pretty bad for him. He's just getting run over right now, and he's got nobody out there that can really help.
This is what a man with no help actually looks like.
I mean, Aaron Gordon looks petrified out there.
This guy would kill for the 2017 Oklahoma City roster of goons who could defend.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right. I mean, they can't do anything. I mean, if you got to pick one, like just pick maybe guys who can just shoot it right nonstop, but they can't really do that. And then they don't got guys that can defend now. You know, some of that is just the Warriors are just playing on a special level right now. And it just feels good to see. I mean, it's another guy, Draymond, where he essentially had the Jokic in a chokehold with. We've seen him do that so many times and it's still so impressive. You don't get sick of it. You just don't. This is the back-to-back MVP, Sam, and he just guarded him like he was a normal guy. And it was completely fine. The Warriors were able to essentially do whatever they want defensively because of Draymond.
Yeah, absolutely. Draymond, the stats wouldn't be impressive tonight. What was it, 6-3? Kind of the type of thing the TNT crew makes fun of him about. Right. But I thought he played phenomenal defense on Jokic.
it just made all the right plays. Like he looks like Draymond. I don't know how else to put it.
Yep.
He got the team out in transition. In the third quarter when they were making a run, Draymond was key in kicking the ball out in transition, getting stops, getting them going. And that's always the key to this team. Like, don't foul, get a stop, and push in transition. And then, you know, it works for him. It's that simple.
Yep.
I want to give one more shout out before we get to the callers. We talked about Steph. We talked about Poole. Talked Draymond, hit a little Clay. Andrew Wiggins, 8 rebounds again tonight, playing within himself. Wasn't even a big part of the offense. He had a couple big shots in the beginning of the game when they were looking for offense. But second game in a row, he's filling that slashing 4 role for this team that he hasn't really done all season. And, you know, for me, I'm going to be honest, I need to see more of it before I'm fully bought in.
Sure.
But if he can play this way, you won't ever hear me criticize him. Like, this is what I want from him, honestly. Like, they have the perimeter firepower. They have the defensive anchor. They need him to be the athletic slasher who helps protect the rim, switches onto the perimeter, and gobbles up rebounds. And then, on top of it, is going to hit the open shots.
Yep.
Like, the Harry B role. He needs to play the Harry B role. And, you know, I always feel like it's corny to call it that, but, like, that's what I'm asking for. Can he do those things? I know he can do them, but will he do those things? He's, for 2 games, A-plus performance.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think this is the perfect scenario for Wiggins because Wiggins is not like Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole wants the ball more. Jordan Poole has the mentality where he wants to do more. I don't think Andrew Wiggins does, and I think the Warriors are okay with that, right? This is the situation that they need him to play, especially defensively. I think most of his energy is going to be on the defensive end. He's just really not going to need to do anything offensively outside of just slash to the rim, get an and one sometimes, and make your open three. So that's perfect for him. So I think now he's in a scenario just like the beginning of the season. And what did Wiggins do at the beginning of the season? He made the All-Star game, right? So, I mean, regardless of whether it was fair or not, he was good enough to be in the All-Star game, and that's because he was in the same scenario, I think, or the same situation he is right now, which is he's not asked to do a ton, but it's also like a lot of dirty work, like you're saying. He does a lot. If he's going to grab this many rebounds, especially the contested kind, Warriors can play this lineup against anyone. And we're going to see how possible that is against Minnesota in round 2.
Oh, he's throwing that out there. By the way, I'm betting big on Memphis tomorrow, but I think that's gonna be a fun series, man. That is a fun series, and there's at least gonna be a certain percentage of listeners who listen to it after that game who are gonna clown on you or me because one of us could have the wrong prediction.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's get to the goons.
Let's get to the
goons. Got a lot of callers.
Ryan, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, boys?
Sir.
Draymond, as I said, has completely turned Jokic into a jump shooter. It's the most impressive thing I've seen. Like, Jokic is mentally shocked, frankly, put it. And then also, Jordan Poole has turned into Steph, and Lakeup is on an all-time heater. Like, I want him to go to Vegas with me right now type heater. Like, it's unbelievable. This might actually work. It's literally unbelievable. And then as for names, I vote we retroactively make the first death lineup Death Star 1 and the new one Death Star 2.
Well, how about the third one? Because there's two.
Oh, no. The in-between is the Hamptons 5.
We'll yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Do we like enough. The – you know, that's a different show, but do we like the Hamptons 5?
I like it as like a sort of – because
it feels a little country clubish.
It was
– I didn't like it.
The thing I thought about it was like a few money that Lakeup basically was playing with, so it being country club makes so much sense because it was
like, okay. I like it when you put it that way. Yeah.
So – but yeah, overall, just beautiful game. And yeah, let's just bring on Minnesota next round.
That's one vote for Minnesota. All right. That's what I want to hear. I want every caller to chime in. Give me your lineup name and give me who they're playing next round.
It's fucking Fitz Five still gets me.
Fitz Five's a winner. I'm sorry.
No, I really don't think you can.
Ray, what's up, man?
Death lineup. Nothing beats death lineup.
It's organic. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, it's the best. It's like Splash Brothers. It's the best.
Hey, yeah. What's up, y'all?
What's up, man?
Hey, I think PTSD is probably the best lineup name. Yeah, PTSD. That's easily the best lineup name.
I mean, I do like that one. I'm not going to lie to you. I threw that one out there because that was my favorite one I saw someone else come up with. Well, what else you got for us, man?
Yeah, I watched the game, and Poole's going crazy. I really like his ball handling skills and everything, but what about Wiggins today getting boards? But the thing with Draymond, do you think he's going to be able to keep this up in terms of his defense in the later rounds against, like, you know, Ayton, Giannis, et cetera?
It's a good question. Andy, I don't know how you feel about it. So, like, that was one of my bigger concerns entering the playoffs. Just, like, objectively, it's a lot of work for Draymond, right? Like,
I think that's the big man stuff I think everybody's always concerned about. And I think you and I have always kind of went back and forth, and I think we've kind of agreed. Like, the big man isn't about closing. I mean, they don't need another big man to play that third quarter or the end of that second quarter, need Zaza
to clamp up Steven Adams.
But like, hey, they might need that guy to play 10-15 minutes, and those minutes matter when you go up against a Jokic and then an Ayton. It's not about closing with those guys. It's not what we're trying to say, but having Draymond play this frenetic style every game. Now it might work out for this series because this thing might be over in four. It might be good. They might get a rest anyway. Good for Steph and Draymond, but playoffs are a long grind, right? The Warriors have been through it five straight times, and I think that's, you know, that's kind of the question mark. It's still a question mark, I think. You don't know the answer to that until June.
Do you think it helps them to go with the small lineup, or do you think that makes it harder for them?
Look at how hard he's playing in that small lineup, right? Like, to me, it's just like, man, like, I think Steve's right. I don't know if you can go to it 30 minutes a game or whatever. You just can't with him. And I think that's where we're just going to have to see. I think that's really the thing. We just won't know until May or June, hopefully.
Yeah. All right, let's keep moving. I mean, I could go either way on it.
I mean, it's also not about, like, Draymond not playing those players. We know he can't. No one's
coming out here going like, yeah, Dre's gonna give Jokic 30 and 22. You know, it's like that's not what his role is. Anyway, actually, hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? Just gotta spread some more pool propaganda here in the spaces. Nice. Andy wasn't here because he was at Coachella last time, so it's time to spread some more pool propaganda. I've seen enough. The only two guards I'm taking over Jordan Poole in a postseason setting are Trae Young and Anthony Edwards. Ja Morant. Ooh. I'm taking Jordan Poole over Ja Morant. Can Ja Morant show me he can make a jump shot in the postseason basketball? So that's what I'm saying. I got to see Ja Morant make a half court jump shot. He seems like he just charges in hopes for foul calls. So that's what I'll say. I think I'm taking Jordan Poole over everyone but two guards.
Wow. The arrogant season is high. I mean, Ja did hit 5 threes on the Warriors in the play-in last year. So I'm not going to disrespect him just that much, but I'd be lying if watching Memphis, you know, just kind of like get a little humbled in game one.
It feels good. Doesn't it feel good? But
I like Memphis, but you know, sometimes it's good to see a team get kicked a little bit.
Right. That's how I feel. I love Ja coming into the season. I think everyone does. And this Memphis team is really cool young team, kind of like the Warriors in 2014 coming up. But they talk too much. I was gonna say, did you see Ja's tweets tonight? The kid is so funny. He's on one hand, you know, he's like he's all tweeting passive aggressive stuff about, you know, hearing the media writing him off or whatever. So he's playing the fake underdog. And then he's tweeting about how great Stephen Clay and Poole looks. And I'm just like, he's funny. He's a funny guy.
Here's why I ride with Poole. He talks shit to everyone and he respects guys who do it the right way. He's just out here throwing out MJ and Steph propaganda. And, you know, I just noticed he's not out here, like, bragging about people signing deals with Indochino and, like, their branding and, like, random, you know, that's for Andy and me, you know? Shout out, promo code Lightyears. I like Ja. I'm sorry. Even though it's, like, fun to watch him get beat a little bit, I like that he puts himself out there in a competitive fashion, and it's about the game with him. So, now, I'm skirting actually his take. Of guards under 25, who are you taking over Poole? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to do it right now, but like, I don't think he's that far off. Like Anthony Edwards. Okay. He looks like,
he's not a guard.
He's a wing, but he's a guard too. He's got special two way potential. He's got it. You know, when you see it,
yeah,
he's got
it. Yeah.
Trey, not my favorite player, but he also has it, you know. It's a short
list. I don't know about Trey, but yeah, he's good.
I wonder if Trey will ever figure it out in terms of how to play with teammates. But
he definitely
has it talent wise.
Yes. I completely. Garland's my guy. So he's up there. Yeah, Trey seems like, I don't think people like playing with Trey Young. Jordan Poole, though, I don't think he'll ever have to do this because he's on the Warriors, but it would be very interesting if he had his own team. I think he would have a lot of fun. He would look special, like he does right now. But I think the good thing for the Warriors is
I've come around on your point about Donovan Mitchell, where like, hey, give Jordan Poole that kind of leash and tell me it's not, you know, pretty much the same. We're taking it's a take show tonight.
The Donovan Mitchell star shine has worn off quite a bit, and I think it's guys like Jordan Poole. I mean, Jordan Poole's about a shooter, right? He's just more dynamic, and Donovan Mitchell's whole thing is he's a scorer. So.
Hey, Andy, how many times you posted up like Rudy Gobert and never got past the ball?
I would never. Wish I was 7 feet tall. Oh man,
Eugene, what's up, man?
What's up, boys? It's a light years type of night. So like Andy knows this. We got in 400 we trust for the Giants. Are we getting into like in Bob and Joey we trust kind of
atmosphere? Because in Kirk and Kent we trust.
In Kirk and Kent we trust. A shout out to Smiley. But like every move they made this series, I know it's one series, it's two games in. Belly, I was off that train. I mean, him and Poole have this weird little connection going on that I saw the last two games. So shout out to them. And like, you know, light years type of nights, look into the future. If we get rid of Wiggins and Kuminga can slide into that lineup, with his size, Like, I think he can board much better than Wiggs and basically perfect that lineup. But, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But anyways, can't wait to see Minnesota. Love your takes on the feet.
Everyone's I think I'm underrating how much the Light Years listeners are tired of hearing Memphis talk.
I think just people get annoyed, you know. It's fair. Memphis talks too much about. It's funny too because they'll talk. Andre had some good quotes where he's just calling out Memphis ownership for kind of turning Memphis against Golden State. I'm just sitting here. It's such an Andre quote. It's just his whole thing is always, you know, just as much as you can take advantage of ownership. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. We kind of do need to see Warriors Memphis, don't we? Just off. We got a little bit today where Monte Morris and Draymond were drawn back and forth, but that's nothing. I really enjoyed watching Kyrie versus Boston crowd. You know, like that's the stuff the NBA playoffs are made of.
Yeah, but I just don't think Ja will be as like sad boy as Kyrie about it. But I do agree with you. it will be fun. You know, we're gonna get a little. My money's on, you know, Jaren Jackson randomly getting into it with some dude courtside who just got like Series C funding. You know, something like that. I don't know.
It's it would be fun. I do think like.
Yeah, there's no way around it. We do need that series. Save your Minnesota takes.
Yes.
Oh, it's our guy, Eric.
What's up, team?
What's up, brother?
What's up, man?
What a game. Like, just looking at I know we were kind of reflecting on this before the series started, but, like, when it's all said and done, Joker is, like, top 15 offensive player of all time, and Draymond, one of the top defensive players of all time. The two are just going at it. That Draymond is absolutely winning that battle, and it is incredible to watch.
Absolutely, man. It's fun. Actually, I appreciate you calling it out. We probably didn't get enough time to it, but it's just like all the talk about a big man. You said it earlier, Andy. It's about keeping Draymond healthy because how many big men in the NBA are actually better than Draymond Green? Giannis.
Two, three. Like, do we count KD as a big man? Then sure.
Sure. Yeah. It's like,
yeah, right. Like stuff
Embiid.
Like that.
Embiid.
Right.
Yeah. You got to get to the superstar class, really. Like, and they might not even be as good as him defensively in most of the cases, but like on the aggregate, you're like, all right, I'm going to acknowledge he's better.
Right.
It opens so much stuff up for the Warriors.
Yeah. This was a throwback Draymond performance, and I can't say enough about the Warriors crowd too. I think Chase has been unfairly shitted on just because people are mad that they moved. It's like I get it, it's fair, but they never played a playoff game at Chase, and this is the first two, and so far it seems pretty good.
And we've made this point before, but like. It's not like Oracle was the old Oracle the last 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's
I don't know how much different it is than like Oracle in 2018 or 2019. So,
yep.
Let's keep moving.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Seth, how you doing? Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on, man?
Hey. Not much, to be honest. I mean, I was watching this game and it struck me that, like, I heard a lot of people talking about, you know, like, you can't play this against Giannis and the like. And, like, that's not really true. Like, the way these people are defending against Jokic is partly just running like madmen up and down the court. So, like, doesn't really matter if you can't really defend them early on. You just run them out of gas, it feels like. They're playing at an insane pace when they're on the court. What was it? 70 points in 20 minutes or something.
Yep. Yep.
It feels sustainable. That is the thing. It's not as if you're just doing it now and you won't be able to replicate this. You know, like, Clay wasn't that hot or anything. Poole and Steph were shooting out of their mind. But, you know, that can happen. Two out of three people getting hot can happen quite easily. And you will get a Super Saiyan Steph game every now and then. Like, it feels like this is a very viable lineup going forward. And you don't even need to play it for very long durations regarding the Draymond Green health thing. Like, if you can get this for 20, 25 minutes a game, that feels like it's going to be enough versus all but the best team in the league.
I agree with you, Sartha. Appreciate the call. I think the so I'm curious when Steph or yeah, I'm curious when Steph comes off of a minutes restriction, how much they're going to play Steph, Poole, and Clay together. Because to me, that's the key. You can obviously that's the best five, but you could see a scenario where you play Steph, Clay, and Poole, but maybe you're using Looney and Otto for a couple minutes, you know, like little things to keep your three best perimeter players, but switching up the front court so that you don't have to play Draymond 45 minutes. I'm curious how much they go to it because, like, offensively, that trio is super potent. And in some ways, like, it's as good as it gets outside of the peak version of the Steph KD.
Yeah. I mean that was right. I was jokingly saying they've got a 6'5" version of a KD that has unlocked this offense. That's
big. And in some ways, like if you buy fit, he fits better than KD because he wants to play faster. KD doesn't want to play fast, you know. KD's one of the 10 or 15 best players of all time. So whatever. It's always gonna be better with him, but like Poole wants to play at Steph's pace. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, it looks like KD's first year, right? Where KD bought in and kind of doing what the Warriors kind of do well. And KD being as great as he is makes that 100 times better. So I think that's what Jordan Poole is right now. You see Jordan Poole kind of coming off the screens and doing what Steph's doing. And you're just like, shit. Hey, look, exactly the same. Exactly. Yeah. Just one guy's a little taller. That's all.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we gotta get to Mikus, who's stirring the pot in the chat.
Hey boys, I'm pouring myself one last glass of vodka soda right now because it's 1:20 in New York, and I'm feeling great. Made $190 off of the NBA today, so you know I'm feeling great. You know we're doing legend. Great. First off, do we think that the way we're blowing Denver out these first two games, with these next two games, do we need to be getting Joku and Moses Moody more playing time? Because we're going to be up 10 every game, and maybe it would be good to get our young players some more playoff minutes so that next year they're able to be more prepared for like the playoffs actually are. Which nickname do you guys want out of Fast Five, Pick Your Poison, Liquid Death, 3G lineup, which is a good one, third generation of Death lineup and three guards, or Death Pool? Like, which one are you picking? And then lastly, Steph won the first unanimous MVP. If Dre never gets hurt, does he win the first unanimous Defensive Player of the Year? Because when I watch him in the playoffs, he's the greatest defender we've ever seen. Definitely the greatest defender I've ever watched in my lifetime. And I'm not sure it's close. He should have been the unanimous Defensive Player of the Year this year if he doesn't get hurt. What do you guys think?
I love it. I love the I love all the takes. First off, Fast Five is my choice. Or Fitz Five.
I'm with you on Fast Five. It's just something about that. It rolls off the tongue. It has a nice pop culture reference. There's five guys. I don't like PTSD because Wiggins is not in it, right? And it's just like it's kind of – and yes, he's not as good as the other four guys, but he's still part of the freaking lineup. 3G, I thought it was three guards. Sam was explaining it to me. Maybe it's third generation. That's kind of cool, but I think
it's cooler when you explain it that way, for sure.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, you know, death lineup is – I always love death lineups. I mean, they could just run that back, but I get for Ray Ritter is going to – has proved to – you know, it's for marketing purposes, they're going to want to come up with something new. So, I don't know, man. I enjoy Fast Five. The pace that they play at, it's kind of fitting, right?
We got Vin Diesel out there for the Western Conference Finals. It's all about the family.
Oh, my God. I could see that happening. Just, this Ray is undefeated, man. He just
– the GOAT. The absolute GOAT. To the Draymond topic, you know what? I want to shout this out. Sheed at Warriors World brought back an old take from Jason Lloyd saying he didn't vote Draymond for his all defensive team in 2015 because he didn't see it defensively. And you could make the case that the same way that Steph got screwed out of finals MVP because people didn't understand what they were watching, Draymond should have three defensive players of the year. Like, 2015, it went to Kawhi. Draymond was objectively the best defender in the NBA in that year and the following year. And I just don't think people understood how good he was defensively because it was a new style. Now we're, you know, 5 years forward, seven years forward, and people like me are just going off about how Herb Jones could be the next Draymond Green. You know, but like that speaks to kind of like how Draymond is kind of the archetype for what you're looking for defensively.
Right.
And it's just like wild that he's probably never going to win another defensive player of the year because I don't know that he has – his body is going to hold up in the regular – like it's a trade-off. It's like how LeBron never wanted another MVP after he turned 30. It's like, do you want me to play well in the playoffs? You're only winning an MVP, right?
Right. I think that's the big one. We watched Draymond tonight, and it's like, well, we haven't seen this since the first 20 games of the regular season. And when he tries to do it across the entire regular season, he throws his back out. He's out for 40 games, right? So that's tough. It's tough. It's like you get into the postseason and Jokic the MVP and he's deservedly the MVP, but you're seeing these guys like Steph and KD, right? And you're just like Giannis, and you're just like, well, those guys are better than Jokic. You know, objectively, those guys are better, but they're not the MVP of the regular season. And just kind of regular season awards in the NBA are tough. It's like a whole different ballgame almost.
It's just an endurance race. It's for the young guys, you know? It's why I don't get like caught up in it because I'm just like, I don't care. I care about like the main guys being healthy in the playoffs.
I'm with you. You know, especially with Steph. I mean, Draymond probably cares. Resume wise, right? He wants another defensive player of the year. But for the Warriors now, for this team, the only guy that probably cares about is probably Jordan Poole. he still wants numbers and contract and all that because he's young.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to hit like an ice bath for 2 days after a game.
Jordan Poole play another game right now. Steph is out here like, dude, I gotta start getting ready for game three.
gotta go float, whatever. You know?
Yeah, cryogenic chambers. What the hell they're doing nowadays?
Yeah. All right, Jacob, what's up, man?
Hey guys, what's up?
What's up, brother?
I just took a bite of chips, so that was perfect. No, that was an awesome game. I mean, the last two. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. It's just kind of. It's beautiful to watch this Warriors team with all of the injuries they've had all year. You know, shout out Steve Kerr, 2.0, 3.0, whatever we're on now. With the 3 seed, absolutely just cruising through Denver right now. Knock on wood for the rest of the series. And then you watch, I'm going to be a little disrespectful for a second. You watch KD and Kyrie over there with the 7 seed struggling with a really good Celtics team, right? So, you know, whatever. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I think my question is just how much have you watched? Like, I think right now I'm just kind of thinking, okay, Denver is Denver. They're shorthanded. You know, they're a 6 seed. They're shorthanded. So how much will hopefully future series defensive-wise, so this Fast Five lineup that's been outstanding so far in this series, what's that going to look like defensively? I mean, obviously, if we stay healthy and Draymond's on the floor, anything can happen. But how has, like, Jordan Poole's defense looked to y'all But other than that, I'm just riding this high because we're back, baby. Like, Inside the NBA is out here crying about how to guard this team. And I'm like, you know what? It's like 2016.
It's the best. It's the best. Anytime you go on social media and you hear Chuck saying jump shooting can't win, it's like, fuck, Warriors are back. It's just so good. I jump on the timeline, you know, and just people are just angry. It feeds me, you know, it makes me happy when people are angry about the Warriors. That's nothing better.
Gonna need to cut that one off and just release it on the timeline.
God, it's so good. It feels the Warriors. He mentioned something, Rishi, before Rishi jumps, I mentioned something about Poole's defense. Denver just doesn't have the guys, I think, where you're not worried about, I mean, even Clay, right? Steph, Clay, and Poole. Yeah. That lineup, it's like, we still need to see it. So it's TBD, because Denver just, Monty Morris and Will Barton, they made some shots, but
I'll throw this out there. Like, I like the way Poole competes on defense, but let's see how it looks against a team who's a little more dangerous. But you know what? Take what you can get right now.
Hey, I'm going to throw a quote out real quick from friend of the show, Slates. Okay. Draymond Green reminding that Steph Curry will be back in the starting lineup soon, but, end quote, ultimately Jordan going to have to start too. Steve can figure that one out.
Oh, I love it. I love Draymond. Don't ever change, my man. Jam Stein, what's up?
Hey, great timing there with that quote. But when is Steve going to make that decision? That's my question. Man.
Game three, Draymond's trying to start at the five, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Steph's made it easy on him.
He has, and like honestly, Steph hasn't played, so like I get it. It's been the perfect soft landing, but at some point the decision is gonna have to be made.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep moving. We'll get a couple more and then we'll call it a night. I'm gonna give Rishi one more try.
Oh, can you guys hear me now?
Hey, yeah, we can hear you. What's up, bro?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for doing this as usual. First of all, I think PTSD is probably the best nickname. Even though it doesn't include Wiggins, but it's great, especially when you see like how frustrated they are defending the Warriors. It seems like it goes well with that. Also, did we get like an inside look into what Premier Lakob has been dreaming about? Like a 40-year-old Steph coming off the bench like Manu with like Jordan Poole, Kuminga running it, getting like 10 more trophies for us. On a serious note, I think we're gonna probably end up playing Memphis, and how do you guys think this lineup is like gonna match up against that Memphis team?
Ooh, we're looking ahead right now. Wow. I like it. I don't know, man. I'm curious. Memphis was not good in game one, so it's hard to get that out of my head. I'm just going to full discretion, but like, I do think the better teams are going to slow the Warriors down and get more physical. So that's even more reason the Warriors should go small and run.
But Memphis, and you know this, so what? They play so fast. It might even fit into what the Warriors want to do, especially with the fast five lineup. And it's interesting because I almost think that, yeah, Jaren Jackson's a great, you know, at the five, small ball type of guy. But if Memphis isn't going to have multiple guys that can create and score, they kind of only got guys like Desmond Bane, who's just a shooter, right? And outside of Ja, there's really nobody that can get their own shot. So I still think Phoenix is a tougher matchup. But Memphis is just going to be way better tomorrow. I mean, you would hope, right? We'll see, but Warriors, if they want to play this lineup, they can play just as fast as Memphis with more creators.
Yeah. All right, we're going to end it with the man, the legend, McWalters.
Yo. And we ain't playing the Timberwolves. Memphis is going to sweep the rest of that darn series. I mean, the Timberwolves aren't ready to win any more than what they did. That was fool's gold in the first game they got. I'm calling it right now. Memphis in five. We can get ready for that one. And you know what? We're going to smoke Memphis anyway. So what are we even worried about? You know, when the lineup's clicking like this, where Steph's barely even playing and he's still dropping 30, geez, you know, we really don't have that much to worry about other than, like, Memphis throwing a bunch of athleticism at us. And if the team's healthy, they can hang with them. And so really the fear shouldn't be there. It should be more like, hey, can we get enough rest for Steph right now, right? Can we sweep the Nuggets? I don't want 5 games with the Nuggets. We need to put them out of their misery and end their season and send Jokic back to Serbia so he can go ride his horses this summer and do his thing. And, you know, and we can just get Steph a little bit more time to be 1,000%. And speaking on things, it is a doggone travesty that Poole didn't get put up for either of those two awards, Sixth Man of the Year and Most Improved. It's completely, completely bullshit. And we shouldn't stand for that. And we should be pining on every type of media thing we can and tooting our horns when Poole goes off and talking shit just so the whole NBA can get pissed at us for being arrogant because they didn't bother to vote for our guy. So screw all them. We're going all the way. We're going to knock Phoenix out. We're going to kill Milwaukee in the finals. Let's get this championship locked in. Later, guys.
My guy, McWalter. My McWalter. Fucking guy.
The ultimate closer. It's like bringing peak Mariano Rivera in.
You know what it reminds me of? You know what it reminds me of, too? It's like bringing on the Fitz Five lineup. They don't miss. That's McWalter, baby.
The Fitz Five. That's what I'm going to title this episode. All right. Appreciate it, everyone. We'll be back after game 3.